Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
For a lot of us, when this is like the first official weekend of the year, at least for me, I break up the year into like summer and everything else, and this is the time where we're getting back into a rhythm, we're getting back into working out on a purpose. That's a joke, right? So we're doing all those things, and I thought to start off the rest of the year, this kind of new year, I thought we'd ask a couple questions. And so I titled this one called Why, because I think asking the question why is critically important. Because have you ever had that moment where it's like negative 30 degrees and it's 5 in the morning and you're going to go to the gym to go work out? And clearly this is a story about you, not me, because I would never do that. But and you're like sitting in the car and you're going to drive to go like sweat on purpose and punish your body, right? Have you ever thought just like, why am I doing this, right? Or going to the dentist? You ever sat there, dentist, like, there's got to be some successful people that have missing teeth, right? Like, I can't be the first. Let's go, right? Or like, for me, if you're throwing a birthday party for one of your kids, and there's gonna be like 16, like 6-year-olds, and you're like, why are we doing this again, right? Can't we just buy our pony? Wouldn't that just like equate to a party? And I think, and again, I know that I'm in the business, I'm a pastor, and I have to remind myself of like, okay, why church? Why church? And it might be like something you grew up going to. For some of you, this might be a new experience, being part of a spiritual community. And I think it's very important because I don't know if you're aware of this, but churches are messy, right? It is not clean. It is not easy. And I'll give you a couple of things that I've learned over the years, right? First, church is on a Sunday in the morning, the time that you don't want to do anything usually, right? Like it's Sunday morning, and especially when it's beautiful out and you're driving here and there's people like going for a run, or they're like reading a book at a coffee shop, and you're like, that's an option? I didn't know that was an option. Now, I'm not trying to talk you out of church, right? Some of you are like, that, I'm out of here. That's an option, right? And you show up, and there's someone in the lobby, and they always talk to you about that one thing, and they can never remember your name, so they just keep calling you buddy and pal, and so they trap you in the corner, and you have to smell the breath, and so you get in here, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go walk this way, and they like are like, hey, I want to tell you more about that, buddy, right? So, right? You see people at church that maybe you don't always feel like fist pumps about seeing, right? And then you walk in and it's like, oh, I want a full team in drums. Or maybe you're like, oh, I want just a smaller team. And you're like, Chris's jokes are really not funny. Chris's jokes are great. He talks too long. He talks too little. He's too political. He's not political enough. How come we don't talk about these issues? Why don't we talk less about these issues? This is too long. I wish it was longer, said no one ever, right? Right? And like, there's different elements to church. So the things that I bring up, the, like you hear my voice a lot, there's gonna be things that you're like, I wish we just stopped talking about that. Or I wish we were talking more about that. And then there's like the rest of us, right? Like we are the community, is messy as well. You might hear people talking about you. You might hear people see on social media that they are actively against the very thing that you support. And you see on social media, and you're like, how could they believe that? How could they like that? How could they support that person? And so then you're like, well, how do we respond? What do we do? And I say, all of it's good. All of it's good. Like, church is messy, but we still show up. Why? Now, let's take it just a level deeper, right? Raise your hand if you feel comfortable. If you've ever been offended by someone in a church, this one previously, raise your hand if you've ever been offended by, yeah, okay. So if you look through, oh, you guys all put quickly, no one's gonna see me, right? That's awesome. That's shame right there. I have my hand, no, I don't, look at the floor. Right? But like pretty much all of us. Now, and you don't need to raise your hand for this one. There's like, I've been offended. How many of us have been deeply hurt by the church, right? Yeah, me. I've been deeply hurt by the church. I've shared this story. I'm not going into the whole thing. But there was a time in my early 20s where Nikki and I worked for a church. And I got behind the curtain. I went to Bible school and learned about being a pastor. I got my first gig as a youth pastor. I'm like, this is going to be great. It's going to be about love and transforming lives and investing in people. And when I got behind the curtain, what I realized, it's just all about power. It was just all about power. Who holds the power? And whoever held the power, used it against everyone else, but then would smile while they're holding other people down. Right? And I left being deeply, deeply hurt. And I remember telling someone else, like, hey, I love the divine. I love Jesus. Big fan of God. But he can have his church back. And it was out of that experience that I stumbled into this ragtag misfit group called The Vineyard. And I said, I don't want to be ever a part of a church again. And my friend Michael said, oh, you're going to fit right in. You want a job? I'm like, all right, that's, I guess, that's why did I go to Bible college? That's all I have to do, right? But some of your story is that you were really, really hurt by the church. Maybe you were really hurt by me. And it might have been something someone did on purpose. It might have been something that they said or did, maybe, and they don't even recall it. But that does not take away from your experience of being hurt by church, but yet you are here. And if you're listening on the podcast, that you are still stepping in and leaning into some sort of spiritual community, why in the world do we do that? Why? And I think if we don't answer this question, like I think about this often, right? Like the last 3 weeks, I've tried making a video to put out about this very topic. I want it to be under 2 minutes because anything over 2 minutes, I start rolling my own eyes at myself, right? So, and I could not get it short enough. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to talk about this. Because if we don't answer the question why, then what we do is we just play a game. Then we just get into another institution, another rhythm, just saying, okay, let's just go up, stand up, sit down, fight, 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 right? Good and beautiful God, good and beautiful this. And that is not at all what I want. That is not why I go to church. Not by even like why I'm a pastor. It's like even just like this is my church. Not like my church, like I own this church. This is my church. I'm in this with you. And I love this church. Why do we do it? Because I don't want to be a Christian country club. Right? You know what a Christian country club is? You walk in, you're like, how you doing, Jerry? Here's someone. Here we go. All right? I don't want that. It's not just I want. We are a strong, flourishing, radiant, beautiful community that is radically pursuing this crazy notion that there's a good and beautiful God that wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us. And that his kingdom in heaven is alive and well to like everybody. This radical kind of love. And I was actually talking with my friend, Miss Lori, about this, of like, well, what does Sundays mean? And I thought, you know, we're going to do this. Why do we do church? To answer the why, we have to do what? So what is church? And lucky for us, the Bible actually speaks, imagine this, it actually speaks about what it is. And it's in the book of Acts. And we're starting in chapter 2, verse 43 or 42. And to get us caught up, I want to give you some context of what's happening here. So this guy named Jesus, like, shows up, virgin birth, lives a perfect life. And he's like, hey, I'm Jesus. And people begin to notice. First 30 years of his life, he does just average at best. He's just working, he's growing, has an awkward junior high experience, I imagine. They wouldn't call it junior high, but I do, right? And he just learns what it just means to be a healthy human. And then when he's 30, he starts this ministry or this campaign, this invitation, this rally, this invitation of the kingdom of God, that heaven is not later, but heaven is today. And he invites a bunch of radically diverse people to be his disciples, to be his students. And it's everyone from like a terrorist who was like a zealot, which would have been like a terrorist, like, let's go take back the country with force, to a tax collector, which, hey, we deeply resent you, and a bunch of just like Joe Bag of Donuts people, right? No high elite people. And he says, hey, by the way, we're going to change the world. Unlikely heroes. And Jesus talks to them and demonstrates to them, talks to them, teaches them, and says, you can do it. You can do hard things. And they're like, let's run away. He's like, nope, come back, right? Then he gets murdered. Jesus gets murdered. And then he comes back to life, teaches them everything he already taught them again. And he says that he breathes his spirit on them. Breathes his spirit. Now everything they've learned is with this kingdom dynamic. It's with heaven itself. The sacred has now entered the human. It's not somewhere else. It's in. And Jesus says, everything I have is yours. I'm with you always. And he sends into heaven. No, hold on. This is not the Bible. He comes back down and says, now go and teach everyone to do it, right? Go and do this everywhere you go. Okay, then he goes and ascends to the heaven, right? That's, I brought him back down to finish the story, but that's not really how it happens, right? And so he says, go wait. So they go and wait. They wait for 40 days, and men and women alike are all in here, right? And then what they call the Holy Spirit, which is the practical presence of God or heaven, shows up, and they run into the streets, speaking languages they did not know before. And why? Because they are speaking the gospel, which we talked about last week. They're sharing the good news, which is Jesus. And in this town is like thousands of people in for this festival that come around and all speak different languages. And they all stop and they hear their mother tongue. They hear their own language. And they're hearing about this good and beautiful God. And they stop. And this guy named Peter gives this message, and 3,000, 5,000, it's one of the two, a lot of people, it says we're added to that community. This is, so what do we do with those 3,000 to 5,000 people? Like, what happens next? That's where we start. Now, this is important. 3,000 to 5,000 people, messy, diverse. There's no like questionnaire. There's no like, you wanna be a member? You have to answer these 5 questions. There is no, we're gonna wait and see how it goes. This is a radically misfit, crazy, beautiful community. And what do they do? Essentially is, what does the church do? Verse 42. These ragtag group of people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. That, my friends, is church. So what is church? And the words that they use, they're in awe, they enjoyed, they shared, they sold for needs. There's 4 pillars in here, is what we're gonna talk about. Any spiritual community, like who we are, Jesus-looking community, there's 4 things. And it's some of them are like obvious and some of them are unlikely. And that's what I wanna talk about. The first one is this. They enjoyed the apostles' teaching, so I hope that you enjoy this guy's teaching as well. I hope when you write the story, and we really enjoyed his teaching. Some of you are like, we really tolerated his teaching. But here's, why is this important? And what were they teaching? What was their message? Their message just was not like, hey, you know what? I read this book, or I saw this TED Talk. I had this like inspiring moment through reading this book. What they were teaching was, hey, we were there, and we didn't think Jesus was going to be able to like raise someone from the dead, and we were making side bets. And then Lazarus comes out of his grave, and Jesus says, get off those grave clothes. And we're like, what? That's their teaching. We were there, and we didn't have enough food, and we were complaining, and we were hungry, and we were trying to sneak food so the people wouldn't see us. And then Jesus says, hey, bring it over here. Let's pray for it. And suddenly there's enough food for everyone. And Peter's like, remember the guy who denied Jesus 3 times? That was me. Me, and I'm still here, right? I shouldn't be here. And like, I saw Jesus when he ascended, I jumped in the water, I'm swimming, it's cold, and he had breakfast for me. And he said, Peter, I love you, feed my sheep. That's why I'm here today, friends. Like they were sharing not some theoretical ideas, not just some religious experiences, they were sharing a story of their friend. And it says that they were in awe of this. And they did the same thing that Jesus did, get up and walk, short, simple prayers, help the people, anyone who's marginalized, they would step in and be a part in their life, not just as, this is just like, oh, this will get some good followers, this will get some likes, it's like, this is who we are. To them, church was not a building, it was not a house, church was a community, it was not just something they did, it was who they were. Church is not something we do, it's something we are. And what they are talking about is this message of Jesus. And what's the good news we talked about? What's the gospel? Is that you are radically loved. And there is no buts. You're radically buzzed. And there's no ifs. You're radically loved if you perform. You're radically loved if you get it right. You're radically loved if this is a crazy group of people meeting all throughout towns and go out and meet in their own towns. And their message is, you have a spot at this table. Why? Because Jesus loves you. And when it's when we focus on the Gospels, when we focus on the person of Jesus, then we can grow. Like, why are they talking about it? Because they're evolving, they're growing. Paul says this in Colossians. Colossians 1:28. He is the one we proclaim. He's talking about Jesus, by the way. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. The word fully mature here means that there is this process, there is this growing, there is this stretching, there is this curiosity, there is this doubting, there is this celebrating, there is this suffering. There is this moving forward, there is this moving back. There is, it's moving, it's alive, it's not stagnant. And we have to continually, not just like not just me, right? It's not just me telling you about Jesus. It's us reminding each other again, hey, remember who Jesus is? Remember what a Jesus-looking person looks like? Do you know what it looks like to love? Do you know what it looks like to offer hope? Like saying it over and over and over again. And what you're going to hear, friends, and I hope that you get sick of hearing me say Jesus-looking God. I hope you get sick at some point of me saying good and beautiful, because that means you're getting it. It's just automatic. And that's the message. And they say it over. And the way that they talked, it was not just, hey, come and hang out for 60 minutes, and then we'll just talk about it. It was something to be talked about, not talked to. It was something to be reminded and say, hey, we want to debate this. We want to talk this. We want to, like, stew on it, because it's not just about hearing something good and being inspired. It's about the word of God moving from our ears to our feet. And we see that, because that's what's next. So number one is the pillar of church is Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. The second one is breaking bread. That is a pillar. And this is something you might not just think of, like, oh, a pillar of church is singing really hip worship songs. It's not, right? Breaking bread, communion. And we do communion has evolved over the generations, right? Breaking bread for them would actually be sharing a meal. It'd be like at a meal and be part of it. And breaking bread is actually beautiful, because if you're around a table in their culture, being at a table meant you are with me. You are at a place of honor. You are at a place of value, that you belong here. Tables were like a political mind game of who got sat where, right? Like, you ever been in like a restaurant, the ones where the tables only have like this much space between them, and so you're sitting and someone comes to sit right next to them, and all of a sudden you're like, are we on a date with you right now? Right? And then if you're there first, you can talk, but the other people who are new have to talk quieter, because we've already established that this is our space and you are just kind of here, right? Right? At a table, it can be awkward. It can be messy. It's vulnerable to be at a table with other people. And why is this a pillar? There's two reasons. The first, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. The communion is not just something, oh, we got to get up there because it's what church do. We do it every single week, because it's a reminder that Jesus is saying, take me in, eat my body, eat my flesh, drink my blood. What a weird thing to say to people on stage. Drink some blood, eat some flesh, right? Why does he use those words? Because the same way that bread brings us life, it like sustains us, it brings nourishment to my actual body, and how the juice brings sugar and brings life to me, Jesus is saying, that's me. Remember, I'm the one who meets all your needs. I'm the one. I am the daily bread. I am the daily bread. It refocuses us. Second thing is this, that we're all in the same boat. When you break bread with a bunch of misfits, you break bread with strangers, you break bread with different people, there is the kingdom of God. So let me remind you who these people were. If you were in Rome, Paul wrote letters to the Romans, which was in Rome, in Corinth, which is Corinthians, at these tables. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 11. He's saying, hey, stop like making this a power game. He has some harsh words where people are trying to separate the table. Because who's there? There's barbarians. I love that. I never get to talk about barbarians. There's barbarians. There's eunuchs who got kicked out of the church. There's slaves and slave owners. Paul talks about message to slaves and to slave owners. There's rich people, poor people, like townies and locals and people who are in on business, prostitutes, everyone. They're all at the same table, and they're sharing bread and they're sharing juice. All right, back then, I imagine it was just juice, right? And so they're sharing all that as a way of saying, this is who we are. And you matter, and you belong. a radical inclusiveness, that there's always room at the table, not just to experience a good and beautiful God, but to experience one another. And I love that. I love watching people come up here. Maybe you take communion together, or you're just like standing near each other. Like, I know a lot of your stories because you share them with me. And watching two people who believe different things, two people who vote different ways, people who celebrate different ways and spend their money in different ways and save their money, you're up here together saying, I belong to Jesus. Who am I? I belong to Jesus. And you will meet all my needs. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Third one. And this is a very churchy word. Brian LaCour has never called me up, one of my friends, and say, hey, Chris, you want to come over and fellowship? Right? But the time I only usually hear the word fellowship is when someone's praying, God bless this fellowship, right? It's in the Bible, it's there. So what does fellowship mean? Does this mean like the church, early church, like went into some basement and had lemon bars and some like, you know, some average coffee, and they're like, hey, I guess we're fellowshipping. Yeah, way to go, man. Church is over. What does it mean? What does it mean? Fellowship means this: share life. That's it. Fellowship, it means being your vulnerable, true self and stepping into a home, stepping into a basketball game, sitting in the bleachers, showing up at a birthday party, high-fiving them when you see them in the hallway, pretending to remember their name, right? my dad's trick, I'm calling him out, is if he doesn't remember your name, he's gonna call whatever you're wearing. He's like, hey, Nike. Right? That's okay. It's willing to be present. And let me tell you, this is messy. You think that the fellowship would be the easiest part. But fellowship, sharing life with them, it says that they would spend the days doing this. Like, church was like every day. And I've talked to a couple of you and saying, should we have church every day? So far, not a great response, right? But this is what they did every single day. If there was someone in need, they sold what they want to make sure that they're okay. If there's something to celebrate, they showed up. If there was something to mourn, something to grieve, if there was an injustice, they would show up. It's just who they were. Here's the problem. We love the idea of that, but we got stuff to do, right? I mean, I'm happy that you're experiencing this, but I'll just send you a text, right? Some emoji of crying. Crying emoji, I'm with you, all right? It's hard. Because what we're talking about here is that we're going to be in this space, in these sacred moments with people. Like, the idea of church is not just meant to be 60 to 75 minutes of having fun and laughing and having our mind blown by Chris, right? And then going back. It's meant we're going to be here in this space together, and we're going to celebrate one another. We're going to celebrate God, and we're going to celebrate one another. But here's oh, man. Sip. Because I love talking about this. I've had so many conversations about this. Here's always been Nikki, my wife, who was up here. We are both the lead pastors. I'm more of like the pastor's husband. Pastor's husband? Then yeah. Anyways, I was gonna try a joke there. It failed. So just back up. This has always been our dream. When we planted this church almost 3 years ago, here's our dream. We want exactly what I talked about: ragtag, misfit, diverse group of people, and we're there. I want a radically diverse in thought, in belief, in politics, in how, like, our economics, of where we live, of how we celebrate, of how we mourn, of how we walk through addictions, of how we walk through pain, of how we suffer, of how we get curious. I want a radical, diverse group that has what we have in common, because what they had in common was Jesus. And there's this pressure. There's pressure at times. I know you felt it because I feel it. And if I feel it, I imagine there's a lot of you out here of saying, well, no, we have to all believe this same thing. We have to all be on the same page about this, like, ideal. We have to all be on the same page about this politically. We have to all view immigration reform in this way. And if it fits into this box, then it's holy, it's right. And if you're outside of it, you're just on the outside of what I deem to be true, then there's tension, right? I know some of you have been disrupted by some of the things I've talked about. That is on purpose. Like, I get disrupted by the things that you talk about and you share. And thank God. Thank God that I get disrupted. Because I don't hold the final truth on anything. Like, oh, I don't have a Bible up here. I'm a bad pastor. I was going to hold up my Bible. My Bible, right? God holds the final, he holds the final truth. And we're all in this journey together. We're all on this path together saying, I love you and I disagree with you, but I'm for you. Where did you form that ethic? Getting curious, asking questions. And when we can do that diverse and believe different things, and we hold on to these sacred truths that there's a good God, that Jesus was fully human, he's fully God, and he lived a perfect life, and he died, and he rose again. Like, there's some things that we are going to say, we're all going to agree on this, right? Not like, God is some magical horse running through the valley, right? Like, no, like, that was weird. But everything else, friends, we can disagree. And it doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean that you're holy and I'm not. It means we're in this together. You hold on to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus always. And then we break bread of saying, I value and I honor you. And Jesus is the one who gives us life, and I'm always going to choose love. And then I'm willing to be in your corner, even though we might be different. This radical inclusiveness is what changed the world. And the last one, maybe you don't think about this. The last one is prayer. Imagine a church without prayer. Imagine a life without prayer. Imagine a community without breaking bread. Imagine a community not about teaching on the person of Jesus. You have to have all four of these, because prayer is this mystical, this incredibly mystical art of, like, imagine, like, we're yelling into the sky. We're in our mind. We're, like, saying, all right, God, out there somewhere, right? And this might shock you. We actually believe here at the Vineyard, just hold on to your seats, that we believe God talks back. I know, right? We actually believe that God might even talk first. Actually, I do believe that God did spoke first. And when I look at the trees, and I look at the sunset, I look at my daughter, my wife, for some odd reason, still decides to wake up every morning with me and smile and say, hi, Chris. In that moment, I'm experiencing God. God is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And this is why every single week we take time to pray for one another. Because, and now, for a lot of you, this might be the most asinine thing in the world. Like, there's no way I'm going from there to here. And that's okay. I've been there. But we take time to pray for one another up here in small group. I just saw my buddy Mike was just praying for one of our friends out in the hallway. Why do we stop and put our hands on each other? Because you're worth it. Because we believe that God can heal. Because we believe that God wants to encourage you. Because we have a God who said, I am with you. We talked about last week being on the cross. And we believe it's true. We believe it's true. So we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come and be with my friend. And at any point, if you feel like, I've talked to a lot of you, like, I want to go up and get prayer, yeah, but it's kind of weird. People are going to think I'm the weird one, I'm the really busted one, I'm the broken one. You're in great company. You're in wonderful company, because that's me. And when we pause, slow down, and just say, help, that's where God can meet us in some beautiful ways. It does not have to be up here. It can be in the hallway. It can be in your living room. I was going to say Hardee's. Hardee's doesn't even exist anymore. It can be at Hardee's, right? No, in Superior. You're in Superior. Go to Hardee's. I'll pray for you there, all right? So those are the four things. We need all of them. Now let me answer the question where I want to end is why. That's the what. That is who we are, friends. And I'm so thankful that I get to be part of this community. Let me read. I asked a couple people to share. I put it on. If you want a really great follow on Facebook or Twitter, you can follow me. That's a lie, but it's entertaining. But sometimes, honestly, on social media, I'll propose questions. Like I did, why do you go to church? And no one said announcements, so I was kind of hurt. But here's what some people put down. Simply put, the community. That's why they come. The community. It's nuanced. I like the people in this particular church. They give me life and have been there for me and my family. I'm not compatible with most other churches. Yeah, that's the most honest thing that this person has said, right? Where am I? I am not compatible with most other churches. I have seen the bad a church can do to the emotional, physical, and spiritual health of people. But this church and this community give life to the people in those areas. I could talk a lot longer about all these things. I'm not a big fan of controlling people with God. Guilt and shame have a lot weaker hold than love and compassion. Isn't that true? That is worth an amen. That's why you go to church. Like someone else. Because it's a place where I experience Jesus and have found community that always points me to a better place than I'm currently standing. You know what I found? When I was talking with people and they're texting me and then they're putting us on Facebook, but majority of the people said, I'm here for the community. And a couple people actually apologized, like, I'm sorry, I really like the people. Yeah, I'm glad you laughed, right? But you know why we apologize? Because we separate spirituality with other parts of life. Like, it's only spiritual when I cry during worship, and it is. It's only spiritual if, like, an angel comes out and throws gold dust on me, then, whoa, that's spiritual, right? Or have this, like, aha moment with the divine. Those all are spiritual, right? If you're new here, we're not throwing dust on you, all right? So just, you know, somebody, I saw one guy in the corner over there, he's like, I got to get out of here as soon as possible. That would have been a deal breaker for me. Okay. Oh, man. So this is the thing. This is possibly the most spiritual thing you could do. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is walk up and say, it's really great to see you, friend. Right? Why do we separate spirituality from just showing up? Why do we separate spirituality of when it feels right and it feels good? And it feels, when I walk in that door, church might feel hard for you at times. It feels hard for me as well. I'm not always super pumped about moving tables and chairs after service. Right? If you want to have fun right after this, we move lots of tables and chairs. It's not when I get down to church, I'm like, yay, I want to go sweat in a hot cafeteria, right? But when I walk up there and someone says, Chris, thank you. It's really good to see you. You know what? I'm like, I'm in. I'm still in. I'm all in. Even though it is hard, everything I talked about, I too experience. But I love this church. So let me tell you why. I'll answer the question for myself. This is why I go to church. I have a friend who is going through cancer. And she came with some of her friends and actually came, I think, to a 101, right? And shortly thereafter got diagnosed with cancer. And she came up to me and she goes, I'm so thankful. So thankful I found this community, that I found my family. And I was talking with her, and she every week fills out that prayer card. And I pray for you every single week. I pray for you often. And what am I talking about? Praying. Oh, and then I talked to her. I'm like, how are you doing? And she said something so profound to me. The reason I go to church, because she said, Chris, I know I am more than cancer. I am more than cancer. And that inspired me so much. I'm like, how many times do I feel like I am just a deadbeat dad? I am just a bad pastor. I am just someone who has back pain. Or whatever it is, right? Whatever I struggle, there's times where I'm saying, that's who I am. And she's walking through something significantly more than, oh, I forgot I didn't get a haircut, right? And to look at me and say, I am more than cancer. That is why I go to church. Because people willing to share and remind me of what it's all about. I go to church because I had a guy come up to me 2 or 3 weeks ago and says, I haven't been to church in 12 years. Thank you for opening your doors. I go to church because I see Dedication Sunday coming up and I think of when I held my little babies in front of everyone and saying, I belong to God and I need help. And guess what? I got it. I go to church to watch people who did not know each other existed up until a year ago. Now we're celebrating birthdays and anniversaries together. I go to church. The reason why I go to church is because I'm always deeply loved. I go to church because through your story and your suffering and your posts on Facebook, our conversations around coffee, our conversations in the hallways of Super One, because I'm growing and I see Jesus in you. So friends, thank you for letting me be a part of this church. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for noticing one another. Thank you for loving. Thank you for your generosity. And it's because of you the people even on this, listening to this podcast, the people in the balcony they can't see because the lights are turned off. You are all sitting on one side, I see, all right? Like, Chris can't see us, woo! So, thank you. This is not just some cute little game we're playing. The idea of a good and beautiful God and a good and beautiful life is not just some slogan. It is who we are, friends. And I'm in it with you. Let's stand, let's pray. We truly are building something beautiful. When I say we, I mean not on our own power, but by the grace and the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, because of this good and beautiful Jesus-looking God, beautiful things are happening. So let me throw this out to you before I pray. I would love to hear your story. I put on Facebook, or you can email me, you can text me, you can whatever, you can talk with me. I'd love to hear why you go to church, and I'd love for you to share that with one another. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we love you, and we welcome you. And I thank you for all the stories that are in this place. And not just the really like tearjerker stories of where we're like, go do it for the Gipper. I thank you for just even the average stories. I thank you for the painful stories. I thank you for the awkward conversation stories. Because that's real life. And where real life is, that's where we find God. So I ask Jesus that you would continue to empower us to focus on you, to break bread with people, that we can actually fellowship, that we can share life in honest, vulnerable ways, and that we'll always take the time to pray, to encourage one another. So like I prayed during announcements, God, use us any way you want. We love you. Amen. So here's my invitation. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come up. It's okay, baby. I'm almost done. I promise, all right? I feel you. The Vikings start in 50 minutes. So here, the people up here would love to pray for you about anything going on in your life. And there's two things. These are two that I feel like God might have highlighted. The first one is this, the radical inclusiveness. You feel like, for whatever reason, you're just on the outside of the inside. Let me say that again. Whatever realm that you're in spirituality, you just feel like, I'm just on the outside of the inside. And God is a big fan of you. And whatever you feel like you are out, maybe because of what you believe, maybe because of how you view things politically, maybe of your upbringing, maybe of your education, how much money or how much pain, whatever it is. And you're like, I want to believe that it's true. Well, we'd love to encourage you in that. And really the best way of doing that is like letting someone just remind you who you are, that you are loved. Second one is this, that you've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by the community. And it might have been someone in this room, or it might have been someone from like 20 years ago. You don't have to carry that with you anymore, friends. There's hope, there's life, and there's healing. Anything else that's going on, we'd love to pray for you. My beautiful wife is gonna sing some more songs for a little bit. Go with God, friends, and I'll see you next week.